start your day at the Torah, Rabbi Dodi Rosenberg.
Right, I'm sure much has been spoken about El and the forthcoming high holy days. So let's perhaps introduce the Sedra somewhat. Parshas Kisuvoy. Hoyu Kisuvoy Aluretz Hashem Elokeichu Noisen L'chunachlo introduces the concept of Bikurin, first fruits. Lukachtu, Mereishes, Kombriu, Adumu. You notice the word Velukachtu. If you person who receives something from a very important person, the fact that the person is prepared to accept the gift from him. So, if you want to give the Prime Minister something and he accepted it, that's almost like a gift. So you see, Lukachtu, Mereishes, Kombriu, Adumu. The fact that you're taking this fruit and you're giving it towards the Besmikdash, to the Kohen, this is all a lekicha, something that you're actually taking. But what's the yesod of Bikurim? Let's understand. Occupy such a predominant place in the beginning of the Seder. Kura Satoyev. Gewaldig. That's one explanation, and we'll develop several of them. But V'yomar tu Eilov, like I said, Rashi brings it, She'enchu kufui toivu. That you're not an ingrate. Recognize the goodness of the Rabbeinu Shlomo. So it's an interesting he'ura on Rashi's presentation of She'enchu kufui toivu. Normally you would say something in a positive way. She'ato maki toivu. But that's an unlikely event, because for us even to begin to recognize the goodness and the toiv of the Eibishter is so, so far and a relative possibility. And therefore, the maximum we can hope to achieve is She'enchu kufui toivu. At least, Rabbi Shalom, you can see that I'm not an ingrate. I'm not taking it for granted. You know, the idea of saying thank you, those two words, is a difficult one for many people. Just to say thank you. And that's why maybe the Pusik says, V'yunisu v'yumantu, with allusion to Harumas Koil. Don't mumble it. Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you. Thank you! Thank you so much! I appreciate what you've done for me. The ability to verbalize, to vocalize, to say it clearly. Thank you, Rabbeinu Shloile. And that is something which we have to internalize in ourselves, and comes from a place where Onisu V'yomarta, the Heilige Tefer Shloim, used to say, V'yonisu doesn't mean to proclaim and to say it aloud. V'yonisu V'yomarta comes from an illusion from Admusai Me Antu Lai Unois Mipunai, Zech Entertaining, which means to be submissive. If a person has got gava, that stands in the way of being able to say thank you. Because nobody likes to owe anybody anything. And that's why the thank you comes with difficulty. Comes to the Rabbein Shleulam to be able to say, Rabbein Shleulam, everything is yours. You've given it to me. For myself, I have absolutely zero, nothing. And that's something that should be proclaimed. Because of the anuva, admusai me'antu, the unisu v'yomaltu, that's the ability for a person to recognize out of a place of humility that he can be thankful to the Rabbein Shlolem for the good that he's done. I once saw the story from the Nesivus Shulam, the Slonim Rebbe, was a very wise man as well as being the Slonim Rebbe. And somebody came, a wealthy man, who had a great miracle that happened to him. I'm not sure from the story whether it was a health issue or he overcame something which was a business challenge, but something remarkable happened to him, and he could see the Yad Hashem that was unquestionable, that he transcended this very, very difficult predicament and emerged successful, Baruch Hashem. The man was clever enough to know that he wanted to do something tangible, so in order to be marketed for the Rabbein Shloim. So he went to the Slonim Rebbe, Nasiv Shulam, and he asked a few minutes to discuss it with him. He presented the options. Could be a few things. Could be a Gemach, constantly turnover of mitzvahs. It could have been something where he would have built a building for yeshiva, stands as an eternal testimony to the recognition of this. And as he's going through the various pros and cons, and the Svanim Rebbe was listening to him carefully and watching him, when he finally finished his different strategies of what he's going to do and how he should spend the money which he wants to give for Agita Zach, as I say. So he said, it was Rosh Hashiva then, he said, was it Rosh Hashiva? So he said, ich sag, as his own garnish game, not a cent. So he looked at him and gasped, why would you say that? He said, I'll tell you why. Because if you gave a building, or if you gave £100,000 for a gemach, you think, I've sorted God out, I've paid him off. We're okay now. Paid my debt, now we're square, right? But if you don't, then you recognize every single day of your life what you owe him. And that's the point. Go through the rest of your life, do whatever mitzvahs you want to do, but don't pay him off. And therefore, I suggest to you, don't give a building and don't give a gemach. Just stay with that debt, because that debt is worth much, much more to you for the rest of your life than paying it off, because you can't pay God off. So we have the inyan of Akura Satov from a slightly different angle. Again, that was one angle, was the inyan of Akura Satov. Another angle from it is to recognize from Bikurim that who is the boss. And the farmer can be very easily lured into a place where he would say, I pruned, I irrigated, I turned the soil over, I plowed, I sowed, I've done so much. And now finally, I'm going to literally reap the fruits of my toil. And this is going to be finally the profits of my work. And that really epitomizes what we know as the Koichi V'Oitzim Yudhi Usuli Esachai Hasen. I did. I worked. I produced. So the Baruch Shem says, here's a mitzvah pikirim. Don't forget, there are one or two extra little details there. You know that you put that the seed into the ground. It germinates. It was a useful one, but now it became rotten in the ground. And who causes it altogether to... Who causes altogether to grow? And therefore, in view of that, the Hakura is not not to think that you are the one who is actually producing this, but the Rebbeinu Shalom is the one, and it's Hashem Usatuli Hashem. And the eliminating of the koichi va'oitzim yudi from the agenda is the important one. So, we spoke about Akura Satov, and we also spoke about the koichi va'oitzim yudi. And maybe that's one of the reasons that it says that when he goes down to that field, koirech ulov gemi, he sees finally this one fruit that is growing, the first one to become ripe. And he says, what's the pitch they're mentioning the Gemi for? Because Gemi is Rosh Hashanah, Gedolim, Masei, Hashem. I recognize that this fruit is the produce of the Eibishter. And as much as I've done towards its growth, but at the end of the day, I recognize who is the one who is Hanoisen L'chu Koyach L'asus Choyer. There is an Arizal. And Arizal makes an interesting observation about the mitzvah Bikurim. And he says that there was something that had to be fixed, something that had to be corrected. The Meraglim spoke evil about Eretz Yisrael, and they blasted it, they undermined it, even the fruits. And the tikkun of that, correcting that, is essentially the mitzvah of Bikirim, where we take the fruits of Eretz Yisrael and we say to the Rebbein Shlolam how grateful we are for these magnificent, beautiful fruits. And therefore, one is a tikkun for the other. So came along Rabbi Nachum Zembe, Zeicher Tzadik Kudish Levrucha, who was one of the the ones who were killed in the Holocaust, in the Warsaw Ghetto. And he said, if you look carefully, you'll find that in the Mishnah, in Bikirim, it speaks about that Udem Yoreh L'Tor Sudai, and it speaks about, Rashi only brings one of them. Rashi only brings the Unov, or whatever it is, the Ta'enu. And the Mishnah brings three, though. The Mishnah brings, he saw Eshkol, or Rimoin, and Ta'enu, a pomegranate, grape, and a fig. All three are mentioned there. Now, if you go back to the place of the Meraglim in Parsha Shlach Lecho, you see a fascinating insight. They went for three fruits when they took them from Eretz Yisrael. And it says, Vayelchi vayuvoi el Moshe, and it says, Vayuvoi ad nachal eshkol vayichesi mishom zmoiru v'eshkol anuvem echod. They have the grapes. And then it says, Umin urimoinem, and the pomegranate, Umin hata'enem, and the fig. Exactly the same three species which are mentioned in the Mishnah. Says the Heilige Arizal, with the interpretation of Menachem Zembe, there you've got it. The three species that were there in the time of the Meraglim are exactly the same species which the Mishnah is actually pointing to, that these are the tikkun for what was done then, in the time of the Meraglim. The person stands in front of the coin and he proclaims, Aram Yoived Uvi, Vayayred Mitzrayimu. Essence of the whole Agudah Shal Pesach is in these few small psikim. Now, that will hold for and listen to the conversation. I think over here we'll just go for the fact that in Arami Oyved Uvi, there are three different mahalchim of the Rishonim. The first one was the Evan Ezra, and the Arami is referring to Yaakov Uvini, because he was Oyved Uvi. He was like a person who was wandering, couldn't find his way. Yaakov Uvini was heading in different directions. He was a wanderer. The Rashbam says it's referring to Avraham Avinu. Arami Oyved Uvi is because the one who came from Aram Naharaim in the beginning was none other than Avraham. But the Rashi says the Pushim Pshat that we know. Arami Oyved Uvi is always referring to the famous Arami, the arch swindler, the greatest crook of all times, Lovan Hu Arami. And he was the one that Oyved Uvi, he wanted to destroy my father. Who was my father? Was referring to Yaakov when he pursued him for 3 days, relentlessly, to try and kill him. The only problem with that is, because the next part of the Pusik says, Vayered Mitzrayimo. And what is the correlation, what is the association between those two? The fact that Arami Oyved Uvi, and then afterwards Vayered Mitzrayimo. What's the shaykhus that he went down to Mitzrayim? But if we take on, I think I heard it in the name of the Al-Sheikh, but the Vayayat Mitzrayim is beautiful because we know Yaakov Avini spent many, many long years, 7 years, in order to work towards a wife. That was the agreement that he was going to marry Rochel. After 7 long toiling years, cold, heat, as he describes in the Chemish, finally came the wedding day, and against all odds, as much as Yaakov Avinu prepared himself for the event, came the crook, and he switched the wives. And instead of marrying Rochel, he married Leah. The outcome was that the firstborn was Reuven. Yaakov Avinu did not intend to marry Leah, he intended to marry Rochel. If he had married Rochel, the firstborn would have been Yosef. If Yosef would have been the firstborn, he had all the credentials of the Bechor, and therefore he would have got a Kseinus Pasim that would not have evoked any aspersions against him, no envy, no kinna, and therefore Yosef would have been the undisputed Bechor. The only reason that Yosef was sold into slavery was because they felt that he was a roidef. Therefore, everybody else went down to Mitzrayim. Yaakov and all his children eventually followed Yosef. Arami, Oyvet Uvi, therefore, by having switched the two wives, he now caused him to marry Leo, and then Leo had the firstborn, who was now upstaging Yosef, who was really now looked at as a competitor, and therefore, Vayayred Mitzrayimu, all this was a long course of events that brought down Klal Yisrael in the entirety down to Mitzrayim. Now, from there, there is an interesting Heuga which has got to do with the Gemuras that speaks about how was the Bikurim presented. And I'm not sure whether we're going to have time to do so, but I'll go through it very quickly. Because they gave baskets, but they gave different types of baskets. The wealthy people brought gold ones, kiltoys, shelkesev, zuov, and silver ones, and the Kahanan dutifully took the fruit, returned the baskets, and they went the happy way. The poor man, he came with kiltor shel netzurim, which is some sort of wicker work, and not only did they take the fruits, but they took the baskets too. It's a strange thing. You know, you take the poor man's basket, but they say from here, the Gemurah, Buse anye ozle anise. The poverty never follows the schnoller. The Ureman, not only he's got no money, but he's got a muzzle that he brings already his basket. They take his fruit and the basket. The wealthy man comes there, pulls up with his Cadillac, and they take his fruit, and they say, here, the very valuable silver tray that you brought it on, and basket, this we return to you. So there's a few mahalchem in this, and I'll go through them quickly. Rashi says that in the Bruch of Bikirim, it says that, in later on in Rashi brings that, he says, Heveisu Bikirim Tishane Leshuna Habu. You brought Bikirim, the Rebbein Shalem should help you, next year you should do the same thing. So Memaila, the Kahanim are essentially blessing the wealthy man and saying, you know what, you came this year with this magnificent basket, next year you should come with the same one. But with regards to the poor man, they're saying to him, no. Busa anya ozla niyisa. Next year you should come back and the aniyas should go away from you and you should come taka with silver and gold baskets and not the wicker work that you brought with. We'll take that from you this year. Next year, Mietz Hashem, we bless you that you should come from Bikirim with something alternative. And there's a vertel which they say, Busa anya, which means after anya. The word uni is spelled with ayin and a nien and a yi. Busa anya means that what are the letters which follow the words of uni, ayin and a nien and yi. So after the ayin is pei, after the nien is a samach, and after the yin is a chuv, which makes the word kesef. And they say busa anya, eventually, Mietz Hashem, after you've gone through this year of poverty, we invite you that you should have that you'll bring not only a bikirim, but you'll bring them in silver and gold and magnificent vessels too. The other way is to look at it as the reason that it's returned is for a very good reason too. Because the rich man comes and he presents his bikirim to the kohen. And he's just been to Hatzofim and he's got this magnificent silver basket, even embellished with a grave with his name on it, you know, like the Hand to Gesif Torah, that you've got the name, address, and postal code, everything is, whatever you want in there, came out, the only thing that's missing is the parchment. But the Master, here you have a person who comes there with all the gava, and you know what, Han says, it's very nice, thank you for bringing Bikirim. Take your basket and take it home with you. This type of gift is not what we call the most ideal, which the Rebbein Shlomo wants. Because we've got the klal that Te'avas Hashem kol goiva leif. And therefore, we don't really want that much. Enke, the poor man comes Nebuchadnezzar say with his poor, wicker work basket. And we know the klal of the Rebbein Shlomo is shoychen as daku, the Eibishter loves the humility of the poor man, the Eibishter says, you know what? That basket, that's the one I dafka do want to have. Keep it. We'll keep it over here. So we have a few mahalchim on this concept of the baskets of Avos Bikir. Got a few minutes left. We'll just go over to what presents the bulk of the Seder, which is the Teuchacha. And there, Pusik says like this. It's worthwhile just mentioning altogether, the idea of the Teuchacha is such that people think of it as a huge amount of curses, but you know when you drive along the motorway and you see the notes which says stones are falling, that doesn't mean that your vehicle is just about to be assaulted by a crash of boulders. It means watch it, be careful how you drive. If you see gushes of water on a roadside, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're now going to be enveloped in a flood and that you and your car are going to go 20 foot underwater. It means be careful because there is water there. If you have animals crossing, and you also have a notice over there, that doesn't mean that the reindeers are all suddenly going to jump through your window. It means be careful. The Teuchach is essentially also road signs and saying to you, conduct your life cautiously, be careful. And if you do that, you'll be okay. So, those blessings should come to you and they should reach you. It's a very interesting phenomenon because vehisigucho is almost like somebody is pursuing you. You're being chased, vehisigucho, that they're running after you. Did you notice anybody should be out of breath and out of puff because the bruchos are chasing him? And the answer is yes, there are people like this. I'm speaking to myself. People sometimes have got, Baruch Hashem, health, they're married, they have children. Children are married, Baruch Hashem. They drive a car, they have a house to live in. But they've got a big problem. The main problem is, I'm driving a Ford, but he's driving a Bentley. I go to holidays in Cliftonville, and he goes to Acapulco. Comes the winter, I'm lucky if I get a Yachekala in Bournemouth. You know where he is? In the Alps of St. Moritz, skiing. So I'm busy looking over my shoulder all day to see what's he doing. And the Boy Shalom says to the person, I gave you bruches, I gave you blessings. Celebrate them, enjoy them. But you can't enjoy them because you're forever running away from them. Because you're running away, you're looking behind your shoulder to see what the other person has got that's more than you've got. And that is the illusion of Ivuyu Lechu Kol Habrucho Isu Eile Vehisikucho. Don't run away, you'll be out of puff. They're chasing you, they're trying to let you enjoy the good things that Eibishter is bestowing upon you. But they can't catch you because you're busy running away in the direction of where the other bloke has gone. So then that beckons the problem. That's fine, but how do you touch the other part of it? When it comes to the clueless, it says, Vui ulechu kol hakluloys u'ele v'insiguch. How do you translate that? I heard a story years ago, could be from my friend, but it's from speaking about Rav Noach Weinberg with the great famous yeshivas of Sameach. In the early days, he had a yeshiva and there were hundreds of Baal Yeshivas sitting there in the Besmedish and learning. One day, in walks a fellow, leather jacket, studs, boots, stirs, the works, with a ponytail half the way down his back. Unkempt. Looked like if you got into a fight with him, it would be bad news. Walks right into the yeshiva, walks up to the bima, stands on the bima, looking around. Of course it was, how do you say, worthy of attention, and Reb Noach Weinberg didn't miss a beat, and walks up to the bima, walks up to the fellow, he says, hi. Hi, Rabbi. Can I help you? Is there anything I can do for you? Rabbi, I don't need nothing from you. Because me and God, we're like this. Got it? So Reb Noach Weinberg was a very clever man. He said to him, I'm fascinated, but please tell me, what is it that makes you feel that you and God are like this? He says, okay, Rabbi, I'll tell you. Me and my friends, we drive these Harley Davidsons, you know that? Those big motorbikes. Yeah. So I went to the Italian Alps on my own, not together with my friends. And there I was really speeding it. And I was on this mountain, driving round and round. And I was really speeding it. Going down a mountain like this at 60, 70 miles an hour is a tricky business. And just as I was coming around the curve, there came towards me a Mack. Rabbi, you know what's a Mack? Yeah, I know what's a Mack. One of those big lorries, and he filled up the entire space of that mountain. There wasn't much time to make decisions, and I couldn't call a board meeting. It was either I'm going to hit him straight on, which wasn't the wisest of decisions. Either I go to the left and I go straight into the mountain, which would have been an equally poor decision. The only thing that was left for me to do in the split second was to veer to the right, and I went right off the edge of the mountain. And there I am, hurling through air, falling, free falling, and watching as everything is in slow motion. And my motorbike goes down, 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 faster and faster, and I watch it as it erupts a huge ball of fire, and there go I following very quickly. There, just as I'm falling, I saw a branch from the side of the mountain. I grab hold of the branch, and I'm holding on for dear life, watching that ball of fire erupt from the motorbike. My Harley Davidson. I moved very slowly, cautiously, until I got to the edge of the mountain. And then slowly I got a foothold, I got a grip on it, pushed myself back on, got onto the path, and Rabbi, here I am to tell the story. So I want to point out to you that you can see me and God. Rabbi Noach Weinberg listened carefully to the story. Turns to this young man, says to him, my friend, he puts his arm around him. Did you ever think why God put that Mack coming towards you in the first place? Did it ever occur to you to think that instead of working out that you and God are like this because he saved you in the end, through the twig that was hanging out of the side of the, protruding out of the side of the mountain, what was he trying to tell you when he pushed that lorry up towards you and got you to fall off the mountain in the first place? Maybe he's trying to give you a wake-up call, and that's why you've come to the right address, my friend. We can help you for a recovery. Oh, Rabbi, I never thought of that. Sometimes the Rebbeinu Shlom is sending it to you by way of a curse, but really, you can't even see what he's trying to tell you because you've got the gears, and therefore you cannot see, you in denial of watching the truth, like this young man. And the Rebbeinu Shlom is saying to you, I'm trying to give you a message. Open your eyes, my friend. So, in Etzem, everything that we've seen in the Teuchacha is because now we are 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, and it's a message of Tichle Shuna Bekile Leseu, to wrap up the entire year. No more clueless. Tichle Shuna Bekile Tuchal Shuna Bekileseu. And there's like we know that in the same way every single morning we say Korbunas, and we say everything else is in the Shalom Purim Sufasaini, that by speaking about it, by reading about it, we are fulfilling it. So too, with the reading of the Torah, we will have fulfilled in the Shalom Purim Sufasaini, if Chas V'Shulam, anything was ordained for Klal Yisrael, so V'Hubim Upgekimim Medeim, that we're lining it in Yetz Hashem on Shabbos, and I will help him that we should be Zoche, Taka to be makir toiva, to recognize the good of the Rebbeinu Shlom like in the Bikirim, through the methodology of Achnua, to be subordinate, to be submissive, to understand that we are so small and he is so great, so that when we say the words Meloi Chalkol Hu Oilom Kiloi Bichfaydechu, we realize how minuscule man is, how great the Rebbeinu Shlom is. We should be makir his toiva, to be zeicher to a shuna toive mesikim zol zeicher san si ashnas ki idem yeshia naksive vachsima toive umay.
Amen.